for public broadcasting.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
Welcome, I'm Sean Canaan. We have a few things to talk about this hour. We're going to talk with a person experiencing homelessness who has seen people's belongings taken by police in Tampa and have had to deal with benches being removed from city parks. We'll also take your calls about what you think. Here's the number, 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. You can also watch and participate on Facebook Live. We're streaming at facebook.com/WMNF News. So thanks for watching and listening. I also want to say that the vernal equinox is this afternoon at 5:58. So I want to be the first to wish you an early happy spring. But first, before we begin the show, we're going to play a comment that was left by a listener about yesterday's show. And yesterday we talked all about transportation issues, including bicycle and pedestrian safety. Here's what one listener had to say.
My name is Bill from Plant City. I missed your show. I was driving. I mean, I heard it, but I missed. I couldn't call. I just wanted to say that I see the point of bicycles on the road and workers, and I always give them a wide berth. And I just don't understand why people want to skim them close. At the same time, I don't understand what happened. Well, I was taught as a child, look both ways before crossing the street. And we've got an attitude out there as if, I dare you to hit me. I don't expect any vehicle to slow down for me when I'm crossing the street, but I'm in the minority. I don't know what has happened, but even a parking lot, I wait. And most of the time, people motion me across. But we have emphasized the pedestrian always has a right-of-way, and I think they think that now they're entitled to just run right out in front of you or walk out front of you and deliberately slow down. Thank you very much.
Well, that was one listener commenting about yesterday's show. That's on our website, WMNF.org. You can listen to it there. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show. And you can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website. That's WMNF.org/news. You can also join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, here's the number to call in, 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Well, we're joined now in the studio by our first guest. The Facebook page of Tampa Food Not Bombs shows a photograph that is of Gaslight Square Park in downtown Tampa. And where there used to be benches in that park, those benches are now gone. In the photo's description, it also tells about how the belongings of some people without homes had gone missing. So joining us live in the studio now are Scott Rock and, from Tampa Food Not Bombs and other groups, Desiree Lynn. Welcome to WMNF, Scott and Desiree.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, let's begin with Scott. I want to talk to you about what you've been seeing. Well, the post on Facebook says the city of Tampa will refurbish the public benches in Gaslight Square Park in downtown. So maybe this is a temporary issue, but how is not having the benches there in Gaslight Square Park affecting you?
It's not so much affecting me. It's all the people around me. I'm stuck in a wheelchair right now. People use the benches to sit on. They put their stuff underneath. And if they leave, the cops will grab it sometimes and throw it in the trash.
You've seen that happen?
Yeah.
When that happens and someone comes back and they find that their things are missing, what's usually the outcome then?
They usually get all upset and flip out and try to get a hold of the police, find out what happened, and they don't care.
And the police station is really right next to this park. Yeah. There's the central police station there. And have you ever seen an interaction between the police and someone who's had their belongings stolen? Or maybe I should ask you, I shouldn't say stolen, have their belongings removed. And have you ever had your belongings removed?
No, I haven't had my stuff removed because it's usually on the back of my chair. But I haven't actually seen them talking to the police about it. I've seen them push the button outside the door and try to get somebody down, and they won't come down.
Let me go back to the benches for just a second as far as the benches being removed. I've heard that there's about 12 benches that have been removed, and that's where people, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, they rest there, they spend their time there. Some people, I imagine, they might sleep there at night if there's nowhere else to sleep. And what have you noticed since they've been gone? How long ago have they been gone, and what have you noticed?
They've probably been gone about 3 days or so. And I noticed that after the benches went, people started hanging around the metal ping pong tables. And then yesterday morning, they came in with a forklift, picked them up, put them on a truck, and hauled them away.
Our guest is Scott, and he's a person who is experiencing homelessness in downtown Tampa area. And he's talking about how the ping pong table has been removed and the benches have been removed from Gaslight Square Park, and how that's affecting people who use this park. And also joining us is Desiree Lynn from Tampa Food Not Bombs. And Desiree, I want to ask you, what do you know about why the benches have been removed and whether, you know, that it might be a temporary situation or what the timing of this is like?
Well, yeah, we've been told that the benches are being refurbished. And if that's the case, we're asking the question of, is that something that's priority in our city? We're asking, was it necessary to remove all of the benches from the internal area of Gaslight Park, where it's a heavily targeted area where people experiencing homelessness take refuge in the day, they sit, they rest, they set their belongings there. Is it necessary to remove them all at once? Could they have done it in phases if this was something that was critically needed in our city? Which I think everyone can answer that question as no, there are much more pressing needs, but is this something that could have been done in a better way? But also I question, you know, what are they doing and why? Because this is an area where people are regularly trespassed, they're regularly harassed, they have their belongings taken and thrown out even in front of them, which is something that recently happened with a woman yelling, please don't throw away my medicine, and they threw it away anyways. So, you know, going on what the city has given us and what the police have given us and the trend of their actions, we're left to question, again, you know, why are you doing things that are exacerbating situations for people in the city that need you the most?
And I hope to hear from the city of Tampa. I asked them to call in at 12:30. I got a response that wanted more information, and I don't have much more information. Before the show, I didn't have much more information, but hopefully they're listening and can respond to this at 12:30 if they give us a call, or maybe they'll email in or something like that. But I just want to let people know that that was the voice of Desiree Lynn. She's with Tampa Food Not Bombs. Earlier, we heard Scott Rock, and he is experiencing homelessness in the city of Tampa, and you're welcome to call in as well. 813-239-9663. Earlier, I may have said a different time. I meant to say 11:30. Sorry, I've had shows at all sorts of different times lately. So yeah, we expect that hopefully the police will call in at 11:30. You can also email in at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. My name is Sean Canan. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And WMNF.org. It's 11:14 in the morning, and we're going to go to the phones because people are already calling in. And again, the number is 813-239-9663. I want to kick this off with hearing from Mike. Hi, Mike. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're still feeding the homeless in Gadsby Park, and if they're still being harassed. And I think a lot of this is not just the police doing this on their own, but they're being directed by Mayor Bob Buckhorn.
Thank you for that call, Mike. I appreciate that. So that's a lot of things that we could talk about. So maybe I should ask Desiree, because Desiree is one of the people who was threatened with arrest, and you can add to that if I'm forgetting the details, for feeding people in this very park, Gaslight Square Park. So remind people of the history of Food Not Bombs and feeding people in this park and how you've been treated.
Yeah, if Tampa Food Not Bombs has been a target of Tampa police for a long time, and I don't want to center us because the voices we want to center and support are the houseless community and people that are most affected by the actions of the TPD in accordance with the mayor and the city of Tampa. So, yeah, we do hold two food shares every week, Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m., and we continue to work to center and support the voices of the people that experiencing homelessness in Tampa.
All right, thank you for that call. And so there are still some feedings. So that's the answer to Mike's question. But also, what about what happened? It was in January, I believe. It was right before the college football championship game a couple of years ago, when you were feeding people in the park and you were told to stop. And there was a huge crowd there later on on a different feeding day. But just run through a little bit of the history for people who aren't familiar.
Yeah, just briefly. So this lends weight to the issue of why we don't believe when the TPD in the city put assertions out. So in 2017, there was an event, a national sporting event happening in Tampa. We were host to, you know, tens of thousands of visitors. The city made millions off of it in tourism dollars. And on the day of the event, after 2 weeks of harassment of houseless folks and of Tampa Food Not Bombs, they arrested seven people that were serving food at the table at the park. And then they later, after they said that they were going to persist and they were going to fight with this ordinance with all they had because they believed that they were right, that people shouldn't be fed in the park, they ended up just literally walking away at the end of the day and not doing anything else since then.
Well, that's the voice of Desiree Lynn from Tampa Food Not Bombs, and we will hear more from Scott Rock to talk specifically about what's happening right now. And but I do want to let people know that you can call in 813-239-9663. We're going to go to Vivian, who is in downtown Tampa. We're going to go to you in just a minute, but I want to ask some more questions to Scott. And Scott, there was something that happened to you at a I'm not sure where it was. I'm sorry.
Salvation Army.
Oh, thank you. At the Salvation Army. And that's, I assume, the one in downtown Tampa, the Salvation Army. What happened to you at the Salvation Army, and how did it affect you?
Well, I've been trying to get my disability since 2010, and they keep denying me. I was staying at Salvation Army. I had been there over 100 days, and they said that the insurance wouldn't pay for me to stay there anymore. And what they did is they threw me out in the street, being a diabetic, on insulin, no place to refrigerate it. They wouldn't refer me to another shelter, and I couldn't get into one. And my insulin went bad. My sugars went to 950 or 1,000, and it affected my mind. I already suffer a little from mental illness, and it just made me kind of like not be myself at all. And I ended up taking 60 Abilify and 60 Clonopin, and they found me dead the next morning. There was no heartbeat, no breath, and while the paramedics were working on me, the TPD wrote me a trespass warning. So I can't go back into that park, the waterworks, until June 29th of this year.
All right, I'm going to back up because there's a lot to digest there. You were medically dead.
Yeah.
In Gaslight Square Park.
In Waterworks.
I apologize. You did say Waterworks. In Waterworks Park. And while you were being resuscitated and brought back to life, the Tampa police issued you a trespass warning, and so now you can't go there.
Yeah, and I was 7 days in a coma and 2 months in the hospital. And then they sent me back to Salvation Army for a 14-day respite stay. Knowing my condition, could barely move my legs, could barely push myself in a wheelchair, they threw me out in the street.
Did you have any conversation with Tampa police after this incident, after you recovered from the incident, about maybe having that trespass warning removed? Because there's, I think as someone who is looking at this from the outside might think, what are you even talking about, a trespass warning to someone who's having a medical emergency that severe? Yeah. That's not what we would consider, I think. I don't know all the facts. I wasn't there. But just from hearing this story, it sounds like that was maybe not necessary, that someone having a medical emergency might not need to be trespassed.
Yeah, they gave me a trespass warning like I was a person that was sleeping in a park and I had just collapsed. I was, what the doctors told me, I was most likely leaning forward and blocked off my legs, and my left wrist was bent back underneath, and it caused palsy in my left hand. It took me months to get that back, and I still have atrophy in my legs. I can't use them properly. I can't get up and walk.
And the question I was maybe trying to hope to hear an answer to was, have you had conversations with the police about potentially reversing that trespass warning?
I try to avoid the police at all costs. I don't want nothing to do with them.
Well, our guest is Scott Rock, and he is experiencing homelessness. He's in the Tampa, city of Tampa. He's been living there. We also, our other guest is Tampa Food Not Bombs, Desiree Lynn. She's with other groups as well. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 11:21 in the morning, and we'd like to hear your thoughts. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. I'd like to know your thoughts about what you're hearing today about, let me be frank, about how we treat people in this community. And what are your thoughts about if there's any room for improvement? Again, the number is 813-239-9663. And I have invited Tampa Police to join us at 11:30. Hopefully they will call in. Now, Desiree, in the post that was written on the Food Not Bombs Facebook page, whoever wrote it, maybe it was you, I'm not sure, said, when confronted, the three Tampa police officers said that they can only talk about the issue of belongings being taken away and thrown out with the people whose belongings they were, and only in private. So what more do you know about the belongings?
So I did actually write that post, and the issue with that was the woman that I had mentioned previously, whose medications, when she came to talk to us about what had happened, she didn't have any shoes on and she was wearing her pajamas. She said everything she had was stolen and thrown away. She was standing 10 feet away and yelling, "There's my medicine in a red bag, please don't throw that out." And she asked me if I could ask TPD if she could recover at least her medication that she needed. When I rang the bell to talk to someone, three police came out. They had told me that they refused to speak to me about the issue, but they would only speak to her in private. And when I called her over, they took her inside of the building and talked to her like without anybody watching. And this goes with the forked tongue of the Tampa Police Department. They have one behavior that they put on a public face, and they have another behavior in their actions. And what we're asking for is, you hear Scott saying he's avoiding police at all costs. This should not be how a community is feeling. This should not be the barometer, you know, of how the health of our community and how people are treated. So what we're asserting, we pick our fights. We hear constant harassment incidents from Tampa Police Department, and we already understand their actions to be very aggressively anti-homeless. And I do hope that they call in to engage in a discussion publicly about what they're doing, because their actions don't match the public face of what at least they say that they're going for in our community. We're demanding that they stop stealing belongings of people that are on the street, because most of the time this is all that people have, and they're carrying it on their backs, and the police come and take it. And it's an increasing trend in visibilizing these communities and making it more and more impossible for people to exist on the streets in our community, rather than taking funds that they're using to maintain, say, an ice skating rink in 90 degree weather. They should use that to healthily populate, you know, programs to help people get housing, and programs to help people with recovery from trauma, from sexual violence, from domestic abuse, losing their homes. You know, these programs are needed in our community. And if these programs exist, they need to be more funded, and funds need to be allocated in a proper way to where it centers the needs of people rather than the refurbishment of 12 benches downtown. And if that needed to happen, where's the notice to the people that would be affected by this? You know, where's the notice? It's, you know, this is something that it affects people's lives, and we would like to see the city taking these issues more seriously.
Our guest is Desiree Lynn with Tampa Food Not Bombs, and our other guest is Scott Rock, and he's experiencing homelessness in the city of Tampa. And we'd like to take your calls about this issue. We're going to go in just a second to Vivian, who's in downtown Tampa. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 11:25 in the morning, and you're listening to WMNF.org, 88.5 FM. Let's hit Vivian, who is in downtown Tampa. What would you like to talk about, Vivian?
Yes, I live in downtown Tampa, and I live in the skateboard park. I'm close to the skateboard park. And I am a very compassionate person, always been. But I must say, I walk in the morning in the Harry Perry Park, I think that's the name, and there's a lot of homeless there. Hello?
We're kind of hearing you. You walk in the park.
Yes, and they are always asking you either for money, and if you don't give them money, they see you smoking, and they ask you for cigarettes, and not in a very nice way. And a lot of times, yes, the benches are taken by them, and you can't sit. If you get tired, you can't sit because it's for the homeless. And I really feel for them. I really feel bad. But when you have to live in it, and you're paying a good price, you know, you're paying high rent, you know, it can get a little bit, you know, not a little bit, a lot annoying.
Well, Vivian,
I'm sorry to say this because I don't want to, and I see that, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays, these people, I don't know, they come very nice and they eat them and you see the line and they're treated okay. They treat it, and I don't see the police harassing them in the park. I wish they would do it. to be honest, I wish they would do it more often.
Well, Vivian, thank you for the thoughts. I'm going to ask our guests to comment on what you were saying. So, Scott Rock, you experience homelessness in Tampa. What are your thoughts when you hear what Vivian is saying? She's a resident down there.
Well, I'm sorry that she's had problems like that, but there's a reason why people are out on the street. They're either mentally ill or they've had a bad experience in their life and they don't know how to deal with it. And a lot of people in the system won't give you the right medical treatment. Like me, in 2012, my wife died in bed with me, and my son was taken. And since then, it's been horrible.
Have you been living on the streets since then?
Yeah. And I've been trying to get my disability so I could get off the street. And not everybody goes around panhandling and asking for cigarettes. I worked hard my entire life, and now what I've paid into the system, they won't give me. I've been fighting for it, and I scrape. I do what I can to get by. I don't go around begging people for money and begging for cigarettes. Not everybody does that. I'm sorry she's had a bad experience with them, but
our guest is Scott Rock. He's a person experiencing homelessness in downtown Tampa. And our other guest is Desiree Lynn from Tampa Food Not Bombs. And I don't know, Desiree, is there anything that you would like to respond to what Vivian said?
Yeah, I would like to see the responsibility placed where it's due. The city has resources to provide alternatives for people that are suffering on the street. It's not a luxurious life. People are hungry. They're dealing with mental health crises. They're dealing with medical issues for which they can't get proper access for. And rather than blaming and typifying and collectively punishing that community, we're asking that the city take responsibility with the resources that they have and provide assistance for people that need it. No one wants to, harm the community or as she said, annoy or bother. People are struggling and they need a hand. And if we have the ability to assist them in this community, why isn't it being done? We're asking the question. We've demanded an answer, but I just want the question to be explored. Why is more not being done if resources are sitting there to assist people? We have so many empty buildings downtown and that space. People that are on the streets, these are people with work histories, folks that have done plumbing, electrical work, construction, people, folks that we've taken around for job interviews, folks that have skills and experience that have something to offer to this community, just like all of us do. And how come that's not being utilized? We could employ people to refurbish these buildings so that people have, you know, that's a refurbishment project I would like to see happen, you know.
That's the voice of Desiree Lynn with Tampa Food Not Bombs. We also have Scott Rock with us in the studio, and you can call in too, 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and WMNF.org. My name is Sean Canaan, and you can call in. We're going to go into the phones in just a second. I do want to read an email, but thank you, Vivian, for calling in and for raising those points. There's a text from the 863 area code, which is not signed, unfortunately, but 863 says, two things. Good thing he got a warning, but he might be required to appear. If not, he got off. Pray Kim Jong will help us. I'm not sure what that means. But the other text that the 863 area code listener says is, police have become life-threatening. And I think that was in response to our guest Scott's story about when he was medically dead and then later in a coma and issued a trespass warning from Tampa police. So that's thank you for that 863 area code text. If you send a text, why don't you sign it so that we have someone to thank on the air for writing in. Well, let's go. Thank you for calling, Vivian. We'll go now to Tina in Tampa, and later on we'll hear from Curtis and Terry. But hi, Tina. What would you like to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say that first of all, I wasn't aware. I don't know if a lot of people are aware that these homeless people are being, I don't know, rousted, harassed, what the word is, from a public park by the police. But can I just ask, first of all, how long has that been going on? Is it, you know, a month or a year or that they've been?
Well, let's ask Scott. What has his experience been? How long?
I've only been back in Tampa about 6 months, and it's been going on for that long.
And Desiree, how would you respond to Tina?
Well, I've been in the Tampa community for five years, just over 5 years, and I've been involved with Tampa Food Not Bombs in that entire, my entire experience of living in Tampa, and it's been going on in that entire time, but also it ramps up at times where they have, you know, high tourist dollar events like the Playback Playlist event that they had, or festivals that they have in the city where they further displace people that are staying in those areas where they set up.
Tina, were you about to ask something else as well?
I wanted to say that my feeling, just my instinct, is that someone is instructing the police to do this. That you know, like they've been told, you know, in high events, you know, clear out the homeless because, oh, it doesn't look good. So, you know, to get to the bottom of it, who wants the city to look like it doesn't have homeless, which is insane. I mean, there are so many homeless in this country; it's a disgrace that people don't have homes. But you know, ultimately, it's the elected officials. So who is you know, the mayor maybe, who is pushing the police, telling them we don't want, like, for example, removing benches. I mean, that's just abusive, you know. I mean, you know, benches belong in a park, and you know, I never heard of such a thing. I mean, that's almost like just, it's almost spiteful, you know. I mean.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for calling in. We have other people on the line, so okay. I appreciate you calling in. You know, you brought it up earlier. One of you, I forget who it was, maybe Desiree, brought up the elected officials that Tina might be referring to. Is there anything that you want to add about that?
Yeah, the mayor, in accordance with TPD, we're not. Thank you for your comments. I definitely share your sentiment. The mayor and the police are not autonomous, although they do act with, you know. They do act as such, but yeah, I think the city is definitely, I know the city and the mayor definitely oversee the actions of the TPD. So yeah, they are acting at the behest of elected officials in this community.
Outgoing Mayor Bob Buckhorn, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something, sent out a tweet and I'm not sure if either of you have seen it or can comment on it, but I'll describe it and then we can move on if needed. But the tweet was a photograph of the outside of a soup kitchen near downtown, and there were maybe seven or eight or nine people sitting on the sidewalk outside that soup kitchen, presumably either waiting for it to open or having just left and you know, after it closed or something like that. And the mayor wrote something like, you know, calling out the name of that soup kitchen and saying, how come you don't clean up your act or something like that, making it sound like the fact that there's a place that feeds people in the community is something that's detrimental to our city, to the city of Tampa. And I don't know, that's just a tweet that I remember seeing from outgoing Mayor Bob Buckhorn. I don't know if either of you saw it, and if not, we can just move on.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that at all. But thank you so much for describing that, because I think that that perfectly encapsulates this city government's response and reaction to the hungry in their community. When you see someone who's waiting to get a meal who doesn't have access otherwise, and your immediate response is to take a picture, exploit them on your social media, and point out the fact that they need to, you know, clean up their act or something for having folks on the sidewalk waiting for them to open. I think that's a perfect encapsulation of this city government.
Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, and Clearwater. And my name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the WMNF smartphone app, or streaming live on Facebook at facebook.com/WMNF News. You can participate in this conversation by calling 813-239-9663. I've invited the Tampa Police on. I have not heard from them as far as I can tell, but they're welcome to call in at 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. We have lots of texts and calls to go on now, but let me read a text message that comes from the 813 area code. Lou in Tampa says, hi Sean and guests, Vivian should consider what it's like to be on the streets. She thinks it's inconvenient for her. How inconvenient is it to be homeless? I used to be involved feeding people downtown on Saturdays, but it got to be too much hassle. Thanks for shedding light on a desperate situation. And this is from Lou in Tampa. So I want to ask one of our guests, Scott Rock, what would you say to Lou in his the text that he just said? How would you respond to that?
I'd say it's very difficult being homeless. I mean, there's only a certain amount of places you can go to take a shower. If not, you have to wash up in a restroom. People don't like that. They want to trespass you for doing that. I'm stuck in a wheelchair for 5 months. I was in a push wheelchair with a brace on my left hand, couldn't barely use it. And I had all the stuff on the back of my chair. To get around was torture. To get on a bus was crazy. It hurt so bad. And people look at me like I'm a piece of crap when I'm out there. It just, it makes you feel useless. It really does.
Well, that's the voice of Scott Rock. He's one of our guests on 88.5 FM this hour, and you can call in and talk, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Julie, who's on the road. Julie, what would you like to say?
Good morning, Scott and Sean and Desiree. Desiree, this is Sister Julie. How are you?
Hi, Sister. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I just left the food pantry at MCC Church on Cayuga, which serves the public every Wednesday from 10 to 2. And I am a friend and ally of the Tampa Food Not Bombs. I also participate in the Islamic Charity Festival, which is an annual event that the mayor participates in, and he's been a speaker there. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm really baffled and confused of the park benches and the police treatment of the homeless in our city. It doesn't make sense to me that the people who need help the most are mistreated in such an appalling and shocking way. I'm wondering if anybody could call a forum regarding this issue with the mayor and the community and the police and the sheriff, if they, you know, maybe fire departments, EMTs, everybody together to address the crisis of homelessness and how we can effectively help the people. I have been in, I'm working also with ISNA. It's an Islamic Relief Foundation that that helps women in transition. And we just mentor each one individually to see that they get in a good place and become self-supporting and self-sufficient. I mean, basic needs like food and clothes and shelter are every human being's right on earth, I believe.
So, Julie, thank you for that call. Let's see how Desiree and Scott respond. How would you respond to that?
I just try to do the best I can every day and just keep moving. I have an electric wheelchair now, and this morning I actually got, you know, kind of abused at the shelter where we store things. I go to public shelter on Kennedy. My friends have a unit. I was actually plugging my chair in outside, and the lady that works at the place, she comes up in a golf cart. She says, "Sir, you can't plug in there. I've been watching you for a minute." I said, "My chair is almost dead. I needed to charge, and I was waiting for Desiree to pick me up to bring me here." And they kicked me off the property, said I couldn't stay there. They said if they catch me doing that again, they're going to trespass me. And my stuff is in that building.
And Desiree, to the caller team, Julie's point about getting people to come together maybe as a forum of how to make a better solution for this.
Absolutely. I mean, my first response when I heard about what was going on, and I myself also was baffled. I agree with all the sentiments of confusion and upset about how TPD treat people and how cavalierly with which they treat them. But yeah, I think my first response was to go to the police department and try to talk to them face to face about what that they had done. And obviously, like, them refusing to call in and take 5 minutes to defend their actions shows the, you know, the disinterest in engaging with the community that they police. So I would say, yeah, I would love to. But the community's been getting together all along discussing these issues. People experiencing houselessness, people that are allies to that community, all people have been getting together to talk to it. The element that's missing from the conversation is the city and the TPD who are causing the problem. So, yeah.
That's Desiree Lynn from Tampa Food Not Bombs. We also have Scott Rock in the studio. And you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. We have Carl and Al on the line. And we're going to go to Curtis in just a second. He's been holding a really long time. But I want to just let you know that my name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF.org. If you would like to call in, 813-239-9663. You can also text 813-433-0885 or email dj@wmnf.org. I'll try to get to your messages as soon as possible. Right now we have Curtis in Tampa on the line. Hi, Curtis.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. It says here you may have had personal experience with police brutality.
Yeah, I had a terrible one. Christmas Day. Just because he kept my license, in the process of giving me my license back, Robert Lamb, that's his name. I'll never forget him. He came over, kept my license, and he chased me down. But not he chased me down, drive behind me. I wanted him to drive behind me before when he stopped. He told me, get back in the effing Jeep. So I get back. He come out to the Jeep, give me 2 tickets. I said, for what? Running stop sign. But I didn't run no stop sign, sir. Nothing. But that's his alibi. So when he tell me, I get back in the Jeep, he opened the Jeep, he handcuffed me. Then he licked me on the ground and beat me all over the ground. Then he put his foot on my back like it was a step. After that, him one day, a couple other cops pull up. I played dead for this man to stop beating me, sir. But I spoke to his boss man too, Dusty Rhodes. He broke up all my glasses, my watch, everything. And then he turned around, Baker asked me, take me to St. Joe. That's what he tell the police when they come. They asked him what he could do. Oh, I got F and Baker act his ass. I dreadlocks. So they put a chain on my leg and took me to St. Joe. In the morning, some people come call me, but 4 or 7 ask me, psychiatrist. I tell a man, that man only did that to co-op his behavior. There's nothing wrong with me. So they chat on and they tell me I must leave. But I went downtown, too. I called his boss. He said, he used to spoke to him. I went to the Frank Rodgers. I went to see Mike Sanchez. I went to the ACLU. I write them a letter. I went to the Town Affair. I went to the FDLE. I get the pictures and everything to show what this guy did to me. Then I went to court. First, I get this law group called Jones Law Group on Kennedy. He lied to me, told me he went to the Town Affair. It was Christmas Day. I warned the public. I was going to let the news reporters know about it, but he told me, shush, don't say nothing. he can take care of that. But little did I know, he lied to me. After that, they let me go. After they see I hire a lawyer, they came back and locked me up March the 9th, 2 o'clock in the night. Knock on the door, tell me he mashed up my Jeep. When I stepped out the door, three of them licked me up on the window again, handcuffed me, take me to Iron Road Jail. Because they did that because they see I filed a lawsuit against him. You do?
Yeah, Curtis, thank you for sharing that story. Let's see if our guests want to respond to that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. That's absolutely horrible. And that's exactly the kind of behaviors that we're trying to address and get into the light of day, because they cannot, at the end of the day, operate in a vacuum. We need to bring light to those issues. And thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure it was really difficult to have to go through it again.
Curtis, thank you for that call. And we're going to move on to some other callers in just a minute. I also want to read some texts. And it's 11:46 in the morning. You still have time to call in, 813-239-9663. Gina writes in, that shows, and she's referring to the tweet that I talked about earlier. Now she says that shows the attitude of Bob Buckhorn and probably others now that the council of the insensitivity of elected officials to the poor and homeless. This is why also there is so little affordable housing. The poor were evicted from the West Tampa homes so the city can open it up to hungry developers who get fed, not people. So that's an email that Gina sent in. Also, we have a text from the 727 area code. I read that before I opened it, and it was not for us. And this person says, I'm an ally and work with the houseless in Eastern Hillsborough County, and I can tell you that the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department trashes the houseless camps every week. This issue is a larger issue. And this person says, peace from Jennifer, and says hi to Desiree. So Jennifer out there is saying that it's not just the city of Tampa issue, that this also happens in Hillsborough County. Have you experienced this, anything like this, Scott, outside of the city of Tampa, especially, you know, nearby in Hillsborough County or in the other regions of the area?
No, I pretty much just stay downtown. I don't know much about out there.
But Desiree, you may have had encounters. It's possible you've had encounters outside of the city of Tampa.
Oh, yeah. And the police actually, when we were at a different protest, the police also threatened to Baker Act the group of protesters that were there because we were, walking across the street holding signs. So I definitely, with what Curtis had said about threatening people with Baker Act, I mean, the whole community seems to share the same sentiment that something is wrong. And I think the world recognizes that, you know, and is strongly trying to center the issue of we see what hatred does. We see what marginalizing people does and how dangerous that is. And we need to start acting when we see, like, you know, people in positions of authority, acting on agendas that are just for no other reason than discriminating against certain communities. And that's what we believe is happening. And that's what we have to go on, because as you see, the TPD isn't interested in engaging the issue. The city isn't interested in engaging the issue. They're so cavalier about the feelings of their own community members that when people have these discussions and when these things boil over and when these things end up in the violent arrests, the murders, the deaths of people, that, you know, they feel no need, no call to respond to that and to engage with their own community about it. So that's where we have a huge problem.
And I want to follow up on one thing that you said, and that was when there were people protesting that the police or the sheriff's deputies threatened to Baker Act them for protesting. And let's back up, in case people don't know what Baker Acting is, that's when the police have the authority to take someone into custody because they consider themselves, because of mental health issues, a threat to harm to themselves or to others. And so that's a serious issue. If the power of the state, the armed power of the state, were to take someone into custody, there better be a damn good reason, right? That's what Baker Acting is. And so when you said that they threatened to use that on protesters, tell me more about the situation that was happening. Were people there being threatening other people with imminent harm or threatening themselves with imminent harm?
No, absolutely not. And Baker Acting, yeah, it's where they literally remove the agency and self-determination of a person and they incarcerate them. This was outside of the immigration processing center on Cypress Avenue, where people were standing with signs supporting families that were coming in, having to do hearings, that were very frightened that they were going to be deported, because that's what happens at this space. They take people from their hearings and they put them in the holding cells that they have inside of the building that, you know, Chuck Prather and the Birchwood Company have created, along with ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. And then they get taken to places where there have been horrific atrocities against human rights happening, like Chrome in Miami. And they kidnap them and take them there before they forcibly repatriate them to places that they have, that they've left from, that they've emigrated from. So people were standing, holding signs, crossing the driveway, holding signs, supporting folks that were having to come there and sharing food and water and shelter in the sweltering heat. And the police actually came up. One of them, a female officer, assaulted me twice. And then they were talking directly next to us about, why don't we just Baker Act there? I won't curse what they said, but Baker Act them. And then they said that would be a great day. They ultimately didn't end up doing that. But to cavalierly remark and joke at a gathering about Baker Acting people for exercising their rights to speak and to gather and to protest against something that is in fact unjust, regardless of whatever rhetoric is around it, it is unjust and inhumane. The fact that they would weaponize that just shows what a scary situation that we're all in.
Our guest is Desiree Lynn from Tampa Food Not Bombs, and we also have Scott Rock joining us on the studio. He is experiencing homelessness and lives in the Tampa area, the city of the downtown Tampa area. We have a text that's coming in from Bubba D that I'm going to read. Also on the line that we'll get to in just a second are Al from St. Petersburg and Carl in Clearwater. Please be patient. We will get to you in the next couple of minutes. I just want to remind people that they're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF.org in the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater area, Lakeland, and Sarasota as well. And it's 11:52 in the morning. And my name is Sean Canaan, and we're going to hear this. Here's a text from Bubba D. Bubba says the benches are being removed because of the Women's Final Four event that's coming to Tampa in a few weeks. There is another national sporting event coming to Tampa, and Bubba is drawing that conclusion, that connection. All right, Carl in Clearwater has been holding a really long time. Hi, Carl. What was on your mind?
Hi. Great show. Your guests are awesome. I just wanted to say, you know, we're spending enormous amounts of money providing housing for illegals and then torturing their children. And the police have been militarized, and everybody needs to understand that. And it goes right down to small community police departments. And then the last comment I have, because I know you only have a little bit of time, is it's very telling that none of the leadership in the area are on your show today. Working class people, homeless people, people with medical, you know, people with mental illness and drug and alcohol problems are a very low priority. And it's just very telling that, you know, you don't have, this should be an issue where you'd have somebody in the leadership show up. Anyway, thank you. I've enjoyed the show.
Thank you, Carl. And to be fair, I only invited Tampa police. I didn't extend an offer to everyone and just, you know, reach out to everyone, every leader out there in the community. So I'm going to be fair to them and say they probably didn't know that this was the topic on the show today. So, but I think that I understand your point. So how would you respond to Carl? And especially, you know, he's talking about things like the police are militarized, and how does that affect you, Scott, from being out on the streets?
I believe they are militarized, and it's just like they don't treat us like we're human sometimes. Some of them will say a nice word, but most of the time they just give you a dirty look and do whatever. You know, when you only have a certain place to sit down, they tell you you can go over here, then they'll chase you out of that area. You know, it's just a matter of time.
Are there safe places for you in downtown Tampa?
No, I find a building to sleep behind. I have, you know, my friend's storage where I put my stuff. I don't really have a place where I feel safe. And I have to take sleep meds in order to make it through the night. And if I take them, then I'm at risk. So a lot of times I can't take all the meds I'm supposed to be taking.
And Desiree, how would you respond to some of the things that Carl was saying?
Well, thank you for calling. I would just, I agree with a lot of what you said. I would say no human being is illegal. I think we are spending an outrageous, outlandish amount of money for, these vigilante groups like ICE to attack and invisibilize immigrant communities and folks that are coming here, escaping areas of war and political disaster and violence, a lot of which the U.S. had a hand in helping to create. So I do agree that we're spending, there should be, a huge check and balance on what ICE is doing. And obviously that isn't happening, and children are being locked up and news just keeps coming out day by day. And hopefully this is followed by action by and large with the community, fighting for the people that come here. They are welcome here, and we want people to be safe.
Well, thanks for that call, Carl. And I want to read an email that just came in, and then we'll go to Al in St. Petersburg. This is an email from John, who says he worked at the Psychiatric Emergency and Admissions Office at the County Hospital on 30th Street in Tampa. At that time, the police might bring someone to the office, but the decision about hospitalization, confinement, it rested with the interviewing mental health tech and the consulting physician. The officers themselves did not have the power to hospitalize people, is what John says. So thank you for that. Email, John. Let's hear from Al in St. Pete, but before we do that, I'm going to give out the phone number. 813-239-9663. And Al, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
All right. First off, I'm a disabled vet, and I've been through the Homeless Emergency Project, the Mustard Seed, West Care, and things like that. The VA helped save my life. You have to want to help yourself more than other people want to help you. There's plenty of help out there. You have to know what facilities you can go to. I volunteer at food pantries on Saturdays in order to get food. I don't get dental through the VA because I'm not 100%, but there's ways that you can go through the county and get a county insurance card, and you can get dental through the county. You can also get health insurance through your county if you're low income, because you apply for a medical card through the county. There are resources out there these people don't even talk about. And, homeless people, where can you go? Can you, if you're still drinking, if you're still drugging, there's places that won't take you. There's places that will. There's emergency housing for 30, 60, 90, 120 days. It depends on your status. What are you willing to do to help yourself? That's the big thing. The problem, the police, of course, they're militarized, okay? I'm an ex-military guy. You have to have control of your cities and laws and things like that. And they need to try and promote people to help themselves. They need to get the information out there. So many of these people that are talking crap, they really have no idea what's out there, and they need to be able to have people that are informed with the information that they can help these people with. Now, you can only provide them with different access to things, as in medical care for an insurance card or dental, or if you go to a pantry, hey, if you volunteer for that pantry, even if you're homeless, you'll get more food than you do if you just come. Different shelters will house you for the night. You have to show up at a certain time, and you have to not be drunk or not be high. But they don't want to talk about the people that won't help themselves. They want to demonize the police and things like that. But and your tax dollars for trying to... we all pay taxes, and I've done it for years. I was a medical professional. Now, my tax dollars cannot obviously pay for everybody in society to eat and to do things. So,
Al, thank you so much. I hate to cut you off. I really apologize. Our show is over, but thanks so much for calling and for pointing out all those things. I wish I had time to let Scott and Desiree respond, but I do want to thank Scott and Desiree for coming on the show today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for supporting the truth of what's going on in Tampa.
Well, Desiree Lynn is with Tampa Food Not Bombs, and Scott Rock is living on the streets of Tampa. He's in the situation of homelessness. So I appreciate them both for coming on the show. And I want to thank everyone who called in, emailed, and texted today. And if you're still on hold, or if you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8255. 8001, extension 114. I'll play your message tomorrow morning at 11. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, Ed and Jeff Haynes. And I'm Sean Canaan. And at 11 tomorrow morning, we're going to hear from people without... that was my announcement for yesterday. Tomorrow morning at 11, we will get more details about bills in Tallahassee with our legislative session update. And our guest will be Susan Smith. Stay tuned now for Midpoint Wednesday with NOLA. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.